Before we start the show, we've got to tell our listeners something important.
About Intervention, August 23rd to 25th?
Yes, get details at interventioncon.com. This will be the greatest show ever. There's programming that you will not believe, almost nonstop from Friday at lunch until Sunday at dinner.
Crazy freaking times, man. There's not even time to sleep in that schedule.
Panels, workshops, dancing, videos. We're not going to say it all. We don't have time. Go to the website.
Pre-register now.
Get neat stuff by becoming an enabler and support the con. That's it. That's be there. We have a table. Come meet us. Buy my book. Love you long time. Bye. InterventionCon.com.
Hello, I'm Ben.
And I'm Jenny.
And we're playing Doctor.
I guess I need the script for this part.
Yeah, you came in a little late. This week, we're talking about Tooth and Claw.
It's a spooky episode.
It's scary.
Werewolves.
Yeah, anytime you have werewolves. And joining us this week to help talk about this spooky, scary episode is good friend of the show, the Lady Fox.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this is your third episode, fourth episode with us.
Yes, fourth. Wow.
Yeah, so I think you may have the record for a while.
Yeah.
Not too many repeat guests.
Nice.
Yeah.
No.
So, Tooth and Claw.
Tooth and Claw. Good episode.
I enjoy this episode. Okay, well, since we rated it, thanks for joining us today.
And there you go. Make sure you watch it on Netflix.
Yep. Yeah. So, the show starts out, they've been doing a lot of these cold opens, and that seems to be the thing that they're going to do from now on. So we start out in the moors or...
Well, they start out where...
The monks
they're
are just...
Talking about, no, they're talking about going to... I guess they're talking about going to like a discotheque or something.
No, no. Before that...
Oh, the awesome monk fight scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just starts out with the monks walking across the moors or the heath.
Yes.
And...
Right. I just watched it earlier.
Pulling their little wagon.
Yeah.
And they get to this house and you're... Your standard Scottish field workers out there.
Groundskeeper Willie.
Yes. Yeah.
What are you doing with a biscuit? You could have come in here.
Don't do that. Seriously.
So, the monks are there for the house. And apparently Groundskeeper Willie objects to that.
Yeah. You would think so. I mean... Yeah. Can't take my fucking house.
So he's going to kick their
asses.
May
take our wives. But she'll never take our freedom.
Or our house.
Never good, never hers.
So the monks defrock, and now they're Tibetan monks.
A naked fight? Did I miss this?
No, they're in their red Shaolin. Oh. What was it? Shaolin skinheads.
Shaolin skinheads.
Monks,
yeah. They have this. Nice epic
TM, Dennis Black and Asian.
Yeah.
We can't take credit for that one.
They kick the asses of all the farmers.
Yeah. Oh, how is it you said it went all Mortal Kombat?
It was a really awesome
monks are
fight
flying
scene.
In the air.
Yeah. It was a real choreographed fight scene.
I haven't seen white people doing kung fu like that in a very long time. I think Dennis referred to it as coming from BBC Hong Kong.
Yes.
So.
All the jokes are from Dennis tonight.
So far,
unfortunately,
yeah.
He couldn't be here.
Well, yeah. Yeah, long story, but.
So the monks take the house and then storm the house and put everybody in the cellar.
Put all the bitches in the cellar.
Yeah.
Where they belong.
Well, no, they were in the kitchen, so I thought that was fine, but apparently not.
Well, yeah. They were in the kitchen. Where they really belong, but then their monks were like, yeah, we're going to take over. If you can't be in the kitchen, you need to be in the cellar.
Yeah.
Lock it.
Chained up.
Yeah.
Hot.
So. I mean, what? Nothing.
Anyway. So the doctor and Rose are talking about going to 1979.
Yeah.
And as usual, he fucks up and goes to
1879. See, it's sad because I'd like to have seen that Ian Dury concert. That's
You know, it's really sad. I should know who that is. I know the name, but it's not ringing a bell. I really don't know
who
it is.
Big concert in 1979.
But who is he?
Ian Dury.
Yeah.
What did he sing, or does he sing if he's still alive?
I have no idea. I just pay attention to the episode and wrote it down. I was hoping my musically inclined friend would.
Concert.
Yeah, I mean, the name, it totally sounds familiar, and I'm like, I should know who this is.
If there was only some way we could
why don't
find
you Google
this
that?
Answer.
While we
I'm going to
Ian Derry.
Ask the TARDIS. We could talk about that on the other side of the TARDIS. But so he was talking, though, apparently he's an aficionado of the 20th century, because
mm-hmm.
he was talking about all the things going on in 1979.
Yeah. And I did like how Rose said something about how he looked kind of punk, like with a little bit of rockabilly. And I was like, that's the perfect way to describe
yes.
him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The haircut,
mm-hmm.
the Chuck All-Stars,
yep.
you know, that's the overcoat.
Yep.
It works well.
All right, so Ian Dury was an English rock and roll singer, lyricist, band leader, artist, and actor who initially rose to fame during the late 70s during the punk and new wave era of rock
yes.
music. Best known as founder and lead singer of the British band Ian Dury and the Blockheads. Some of his songs, or some of his albums you might know, would be New Boots and Panties, Do It Yourself, Laughter, Lord Upminster, 4,000 Weeks Holiday, Apples, The Bus Driver's Prayer, and other stories.
Anyway, so they land in the Scottish Moors.
Yep.
And
that's when they figure out it's 1879.
Yeah.
Since there's a redcoat standing there with a pistol in his face.
Yeah, they get kind of ambushed.
Now, my question is, did they land and then the guards approach? Or did they, like, land in the middle of the road and the guards were like, what the...
I'm pretty sure that the guards saw them landing right
yeah.
in front of them. Maybe they were a little bit off. But the queen is awfully close.
Yeah.
So it, yes. they must have landed right in front.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't have brought her in her carriage with
up to
them.
The big blue
hey,
police
let's
box.
Let's bring the queen right to right
yeah.
in danger. They wouldn't
well,
have
he
done
was,
that.
He landed right on the road.
Yes.
Or just off the road. I just didn't know the timing of it. Like if he had already landed and then they're coming up on the road and they were like, whoa, what the hell is this? Or if
yeah.
it was, they're walking up and all of a sudden, kawoosh, kawoosh, there's a TARDIS.
I know. Feel it must have been the latter.
Okay.
Only because, like
they didn't
I said,
seem
the queen is right there.
But
otherwise,
they
would have left the queen back.
Right.
But it didn't seem like, though, that they were freaked out enough by the appearance of a TARDIS. Or
no, I think as soon as they saw the TARDIS, they were surrounding it to see what the hell's going on because... She was even freaked out by the fact that there was a tree on the railroad track.
Well, she wasn't really freaked out about it.
No, but she assumed that it was a trap or something
yeah.
to try to kill her.
Because she said everything about her, she seemed to figure everything around her since she's become queen has been planned.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, here's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you're driving and you're messing around with the radio or
and then you look up
your
and...
Twitter status and then you look up and the light is red?
Yeah.
I feel like in the 1800s on horseback, it was kind of the same thing.
They're bored. They're,
you know,
polishing their buttons.
Liam and Nigel were riding their horses, chatting back and forth. And, oh, shit, what is that in front of us? Ooh, we fucked up. We should have noticed this a while ago. I don't think they noticed it.
How did you miss that? Me? How did you miss it?
Exactly.
You were supposed
mm-hmm.
to be watching.
Exactly. I think that's what happened because obviously it wouldn't make sense for magic.
Yeah.
To have happened.
Right.
Right.
So they're just thinking that they missed it.
Yeah.
Yep. So they get to meet Queen Victoria. She's the whole reason for all this.
Mm-hmm. And I liked how they thought that Rose was naked.
Yeah.
Yes.
That naked child. And what do you refer
child.
To her? The timorous beastie.
Timorous beastie. Yeah.
She's a wee naked lass.
Jesus Christ. Her Scottish accent is worse than mine.
It sounds much more Canadian. Do
yes.
British people think that
in a boot?
Do British people think that Scottish people sound Canadian?
No, they think they sound Scottish, and that's the same thing with the vowels.
Okay.
That they make
it
fun
is
of
a
for the Canadians.
Thing,
yeah.
They also roll their R's, and it's much more guttural,
which is bad because whenever I do my Scottish accent, I can't do any rolling R's. I've never been able to do it.
I can do it, but I can't do it like in the middle of a word. Like that's always been my downfall in trying to speak Spanish. I can't do that.
Now, the person who can do it, though, is the seventh doctor. Sylvester McCoy?
Mm-hmm. You sure it's the seventh doctor?
Yes.
McCoy? Okay. Just making sure.
Yes, that's why.
Yeah, that's who he said. Colin Baker.
Yeah.
What? I'm sorry. No. It was the Seventh Doctor, Sylvester McCoy.
Sixth Doctor was Colin Baker.
Uh-huh. Okay, just making sure you
I'm just saying
you
he's famous for his rolling R's.
Okay. I've never
no,
seen
wait,
a
no,
Sylvester
wait, that
McCoy
was,
episode.
Yeah. You should. You should.
I'd like to.
There's some good ones. We're going to be talking about some of those, I think.
Eventually.
Yeah.
I think we may have one coming up this season.
Maybe this season or next season. We have one. I have to look at the schedule again.
So Rolling R's, Naked Child.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they're on their way to Balmoral Castle.
Yes.
But they're not going to make it tonight, so they're going to stop at this guy's house.
Yeah. A friend of her dead husband.
Yes. Good old husband, Prince Albert.
McLeish?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know. That was just, I put it in the notes. The guy they meet up with is Robert McLeish, the son. I guess his father and her husband had been good friends in the past.
Yeah.
And he used to go up there a
They're
lot.
Tight.
It kind of sounds like they had their own little Victorian sci-fi club.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
they're
it was
nerds.
Like, wow.
They were like the steampunk guys.
Right. They would have been so awesome at the steampunk convention, those two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was really surprised the queen was so familiar. And I wasn't.
What do you mean? Like, her, the actress?
Oh, no, no. I mean,
the way
her
she
tone,
interacted.
Yeah, her interactions.
I don't know. She kind of got her standoffishness at dinner.
Yeah.
When the lieutenant or captain or whoever laughed. And
well, he was being a brown noser.
And she kicked back into, I'll try to contain my wit so as to not do you any further harm.
Right. Because he, like I said, he was being a brown noser and she just shot him down.
Yeah.
She's right. Like, stop it. Don't
Very
kiss my
funny,
ass.
Your Majesty. Oh my goodness. Such a wit about you.
But she was, maybe it was just because of the psychic paper.
You know, well, he,
the doctor
you know,
had his royal documentation to.
Yeah, he
care
had,
for the queen.
He had been appointed by the Lord Provost as her protector during her time in Scotland. Now, apparently, from what I've read, that's David Tennant's natural voice.
It is, yeah.
Because he is Scottish.
Yeah.
And he did away with his accent. So whenever he would slip and lose his accent, he was actually using a fake voice, which is kind of funny.
It's fascinating to me the way that actors change their voice because I know for myself I can do a couple fake accents, not very well. But when I fake an accent, I start to talk that way. If I fake a southern accent for long enough, I start saying things and I'm like, oh my god,
like
what did I
your
just
head?
Say yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's fascinating for me to see actors, like, I don't know how Gwyneth Paltrow doesn't have a British accent in daily life. She must.
She does it so much.
You know, and
but she does it very well, I thought.
And is she still with what's her name? What's his name? You know, Coldplay guy, Chris Martin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you were married to somebody with an accent that you were doing all the time, you would pick up on
that. Yeah. I would think so.
But maybe she consciously doesn't because she sees all the crap that Madonna gets.
Oh, Madonna's so fake.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I'm Madonna.
Well, see, I don't give her crap, though, because when I was in
that
Ireland...
That was the best Madonna impression ever, everybody.
When I was in Ireland, by the time I left, I had to, like, detox for a couple of days to get it out of my system.
Right. Yeah, but you said your grandmother had an accent. Was it Irish
Somewhat,
or Scottish?
Yeah.
You know, so you kind of grew up hearing that kind of speech and that accent, so you kind of picked up on it naturally.
And then the rest of us are Southern, so.
Well, another thing is that in certain areas, you need to pronounce words a certain way for people to understand you, whether it's the way you say it or not.
Yeah.
And
well, the only words I needed when I was in Ireland and when I was in Europe was pint, beer, stout. As long as I could clearly enunciate those words. No. But I was always a good boy when I was in the Navy, mostly.
No, that's not what I hear.
Well, you heard wrong. But the other thing though is that the name he introduces himself as, Jamie McCrimmon.
Is that the Scottish guy that was his companion?
That was the Second Doctor's companion, Jamie McCrimmon.
I didn't catch that.
I didn't catch it till just now when you brought up the name, and I was like, there was a Scottish guy named Jamie.
Hey, wait a minute.
That's awesome. Awesome.
So that was a nice little nod back that he would... And there was no chance of it, you know, biting him in the... Wait a minute. I thought Jamie McCrimmon was... Because Jamie's from a couple of generations back. So while we're reflecting on Scotland, we'll be right back after this message.
You, the people of the internet, have an important decision to make. One which will shape the future of the internet generations to come. Choosing the first Miss Nerd America. One candidate stands out among the rest as the one the prophecies foretold, the one who would show us the way, the geekiest of the geek.
Hi, I'm Jenny Zell, and I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a nerd. But I wasn't always this brave. As a teenager, I repressed geeky tendencies for fear of becoming a social outcast. I ended up an outcast anyway, so since my plan failed, I finally began to embrace geek culture and be true to myself. Nerds have come a long way in this country. No longer are children frightened of being shoved into lockers or getting atomic wedgies on the playground. Being intelligent and receiving an A on a report card is no longer a scarlet letter. But we still have a long way to go. As your Miss Nerd America, I'll be a role model for children who are also afraid to come out of the geek closet. I'll fight the absurd attacks against so-called fake geek girls and work hard for women in our community to gain respect. Vote early, vote often at MissNerdAmerica.com. I'm Jenny Zell, and I approve this message.
Alfredo Torres, and if you guys are into the latest in zombie subculture, literature, movies, comic books, the place to go every Tuesday, Torres vs. Zombies, torresvszombies.com. Check it out and find out tips on how to survive the upcoming zombie apocalypse. It's a great time. It's every Tuesday, Torres vs. Zombies.
And we're back. So they get to Torchwood House. Spoiler.
What was it actually called?
Torchwood House.
Torchwood House. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought there was another name for it.
Torchwood Estate or something.
No, Torchwood House. That was the sign over the door. Okay. Was Torchwood House.
At this point, had Torchwood, the show, already started?
No.
Okay.
No, it doesn't start until the end of the season.
Right. Okay.
But we've heard Torchwood mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Well, they took out the Sycorax in the Christmas invasion.
Right.
And then it was mentioned
in Bad Wolf.
Yes. Built on the remains of this old Earth Institute. Mm-hmm. Touchdown Institute. Wrong. Torchwood. You are the weakest link. Goodbye. So Robert McLeish is giving Her Majesty a tour around the house.
First he tries real hard to get her to move on.
Yeah. Oh, you know, sorry you can't stay. The wife, you know, she went to Edinburgh.
There's nothing in the kitchen.
She took the cook with her. So.
Don't the cellar.
And don't mind these strange bald men.
We're having a skinhead convention this weekend.
The observers from Fringe showed up and took over the staff.
But it's okay.
I hope the five people that watch Fringe... Listen and get
Fringe.
That joke.
I do totally
too.
Got it.
I need to get into it, and I haven't
started. People bust
yet.
On Fringe. I love it.
Now you should listen to my new podcast. I call it Fringe Benefits.
Jesus.
And it's twice
little,
a week.
Little unrelated, but somewhat relevant. Karen Gillan tweeted right after the Pond Life episodes came out about her wig. That she was obviously wearing. She said, it's true, I'm wearing a big old ginger wig on Pond Life due to Fringe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meaning she got her bangs cut.
Yes.
Which I had never heard bangs called Fringe before.
I actually asked about that on Reddit.
Right. I was so excited. I was like, Karen Gillan's on Fringe? Karen Gillan's on Fringe? Oh my gosh, I can't wait for the new season. And it was her bangs.
She got bangs. Yeah, somebody actually was like, here, and sent me a link to Wikipedia. Let me Google that for you. All right, fine. I just asked what the hell you're talking about with Fringe.
That's why I hate Reddit.
Be a dick.
That's why I hate Reddit.
I love Reddit, but they were a dick to us.
Everybody on the internet's a dick.
Let's just
get that out of the way, except us.
No, we are.
I'm not an online dick, I promise.
There's the John Gabriel internet dickwad theory.
Explain, continue. I've never heard it.
A person.
Let me Google that for you.
Person plus anonymity equals dickwad.
Oh, yeah.
No, that does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But
a lot braver to
honestly,
be snarky.
When I'm a jerk on the internet, it's for people who I already don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they're not smart enough to understand that I'm being a dick.
Yeah.
Like the yes. conversation. Yeah. Yes.
I'm nice to everybody.
Like people no, who think not. That stories on The Onion are real.
Oh, yeah.
I intentionally post links to stories on The Onion.
And people go,
and
really?
Target, no, yes. And target specific people that I know will think it's real. Like yeah. The most recent one I did was the Cracked article where Obama is the Antichrist. But as as Antichrists go, he's one of the most ineffective Antichrists that we've had. And is failing miserable in the role.
Did you tag on that one, Torres?
No. Some of my friends from back home.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Okay, or people who think Photoshop images are real.
Oh, and I love all the quotes that are randomly assigned to celebrities.
Yes.
Like the one that was going around about, that was supposedly a tribute to Marilyn Manson.
Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe. I can't believe I almost said Marilyn Manson. And it was like, all you women who are a size 16, you're real people. If you're a size zero, then you're not a real person. Something
didn't
stupid
have a
like that.
Size zero in 1964.
And whatever no. it was, didn't even sound like something that she would say.
Yeah. Well, that's
but they
why
just slapped this quote on to
my favorite
picture.
Internet quote is the picture of Abraham Lincoln, and it says 90% of all celebrity quotes you see on the internet are fake.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Abraham Lincoln, 1865.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was the amendment to the Gettysburg Address.
Yep.
Yes.
So anyway, back in 1879, a few years after the.
Speaking of
Gettysburg Address,
Rose continues to try to get Queen Victoria to say,
"We are not amused."
And supposedly,
well, they bet $10 on it. So,
but supposedly, like you know, this is Queen Victoria's, you know, famous thing, and supposedly she didn't even say it.
Yeah,
that's what I read on the internets.
Well, of course, it's probably true.
That's right.
Well, they wouldn't let it on the internet if it wasn't true. Yeah. That'd be illegal.
Yeah,
So
remember, kids, always remember that. Everything on the internet is true.
Mm-hmm. Especially Wikipedia.
Congress won't let them put anything on the internet that isn't true. It's an internet law.
Yes.
If you put something untrue on the internet police will track your IP and come to your house.
But just in case, always check Snopes.com.
Yes.
Because that's always accurate, too. Always.
Well, more so than not. More accurate than your fourth grade teacher who's scared that Obama eats children. And hates veterans with Target and canceled Christmas this year.
Yeah.
That never happened.
Anyway.
So meanwhile, in 1879, Scotland.
The bald guys are being the butlers.
Yes, the bald guys are the butlers. And they're showing the queen around and they show her the telescope.
Big telescope. And the doctor starts looking at it. He's like, oh, it's all these prisms.
It's over magnified.
Yeah,
it doesn't work.
It's rubbish.
But it's cool looking.
Yeah, he's like,
am
I being rude again?
Totally steampunk.
Oh, yeah.
Being a dick. Stop it, doctor.
So I thought it was pretty cool.
It was cool.
It was nifty.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's off to dinner.
Yeah. Oh, he was asking the guy about the wolf story when the skinhead guy interrupted.
Yeah. Trying to steer him away from that whole wolf thing.
Yeah. But the doctor picked up on it, because that's why he brings it back up over dinner.
Yeah, but Rose isn't at dinner because she's having some trouble with her clothes, the butler says. The trouble being is that she has now been kidnapped and taken to the cellar with the surviving maid
with
that she found.
Put the bitches
well, she
in the
found
cellar.
A maid in her wardrobe when she was looking at clothes.
Mm-hmm. She was looking for Narnia.
Yeah. That girl's so,
and R. Kelly.
So deep in the... Closet Narnia is her zip code. And there was a werewolf, and I'm in the closet, and I got my gun, and the werewolf came in, and then he left, and then Chuck and Ian show
up. I think
it's
going to be my goal today to put R. Kelly in every podcast that I'm
You've,
on.
You've done it so far all day today, so let's... So now, yeah, go ahead and check that box. So now Rose and the missing maid are in the cellar with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, the you know, cover it up so the doctor is at dinner with Her Majesty.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, the skinheads have made this magic potion.
Yeah.
And handed it out to all the guards.
Take out the guards. Some knockout juice.
Nice.
Don't kill them.
Just give them some hot
because
cocoa.
When Rose found the body before she got captured, she noticed that he'd been knocked out. She said, well, at least he's not dead.
Okay.
So they didn't kill the guards, which they could have.
That was nice.
Just put him night-night.
Yeah.
Sleepy time. We gave him sleepy time tea.
Yeah. Maybe it was something with chamomile.
Yeah, chamomile.
Nice soothing
something
chamomile.
Something gentle.
Something.
Peppermint.
Something just kind of, you know, it's been a long day on the road, and you're tired, and now you have a
just
little tea.
Take a little nap. Let me read you a story. Just... It's called Go the Fuck to Sleep.
Good night, moon. Good night, room.
Good night, TARDIS.
Good night, wolf.
Jumping over the broom.
Good night, scary Shaolin monk skinhead.
Good night, mistletoe. Mm. Oh, wait, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
No, that's fine.
Let's get there.
Which is hard to believe.
Yeah.
So, the queen is pretty much into this whole supernatural thing, though. So
I
she
like
wants to hear the werewolf story, too. Mm-hmm. It's really sad, though, when she was talking about how, you know, the dead, and since her, you know, her
yeah.
prince had died, and she was alone in the world, and that's the thing with the dead, that they can't speak to us. So we look at these stories and little glimmers from the other side. And
yeah, felt a little bad.
It's like the doctor, you know, said when he said something and it triggered that, you could tell he was like, oh,
he was like,
fuck. Yeah,
sorry.
I gotta. So dinner goes pretty well, and the queen, you know, who's interested in this story, they finally get Sir Robert to tell his little story.
Mm-hmm. And he's saying about how, you know, every full moon there's livestock that are slaughtered,
goes missing.
Yeah, someone goes missing, and I guess this becomes the new werewolf.
Yeah.
Because, oh, surprise.
It's too bad it's in Scotland, because, you know, otherwise we could have had a werewolf in London.
Ahoo!
Yeah. Werewolf in London.
And it's not a werewolf bar mitzvah.
No. Not in Scotland, I can just about assure you of that. So, the werewolf. And while we're hearing this story down in the cellar, Rose is getting to meet the caged monk,
mm-hmm.
who we're starting to figure out is the werewolf.
Yeah, he's starting to transform. He's got spooky eyes.
But we kind of figure out he's an alien, too.
Yeah,
she knows right away he's an alien.
Yeah.
He's not a traditional werewolf that we think of.
And he figures out some stuff about her, too.
Yeah,
which,
she is a bit of the wolf in her.
I can see it in you. You have the wolf in you.
I kind of thought he was trying to tell her.
Bad
I want
a wolf?
Do you have any wolf in you?
We want some.
Yeah, baby.
Have used the, you know, got any Irish in you line before? It works.
Does it really?
No matter what the answer is. Because if it's no, do you want some? If it's yes, then it's want more?
See,
of course, I usually preface that with a little more.
Yeah, I was about to say, I've heard it a little more, and then I'm like, well, if it's just a little, then no, I don't want it.
Well, it works. It's happy. I've only had a few complaints.
Anyway.
So the monastery guys have, according to Sir Robert, he thinks, you know, because he's like, you know, my father started thinking that they'd possibly turned from God.
And now they worship the wolf.
The wolf. And all this time, though, now the weird bald butler, Father Angelo, has walked over to the window and started chanting.
Yeah, what the hell? Was he doing some voodoo over there?
Pia Jesus Domine, Loa Heis Requiem. Whack! And the doctor's kind of picking up on that, too. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, maybe the monks weren't monks, and maybe the monks are among us now! Ha! J'accuse!
Challenge!
Run away!
Yeah. Which is all Doctor Who is. Just run away!
Yeah. No, not always.
Yeah,
not always.
Yeah. The doctor and Sir Robert run off to investigate the noise of...
There's some screaming.
Screaming going on. Rose and her compadres are escaping from the cellar before the werewolf changes, because he's in the moonlight now.
Right. Well, they're chained up.
Yeah. And so they're breaking loose, though, or trying to.
This is all Rose leading the weak-minded servant women, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is there one, just the one lady of the house, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Lady McLeish or whatever
she
is. And all the rest are just these little, you know, basically
well,
slaves.
No, it's also, though, the surviving Steamboat Willie guy.
Okay.
Groundskeeper
right.
Willie's down there.
Right.
So between all of them, though, they should be able to break.
Too.
Yeah, they should be able to break the chains.
Right, mm-hmm. But there's nobody to organize them. Nobody to say, "Hey, we can do this."
Yeah, because these are all followers.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
It's really nice to see Rose in this role.
Taking
like
lead.
This is right, and I know we've talked a lot about. Rose being
sucks.
Kind of a new, yeah, yeah. Okay, let's put it in Jenny's words. Rose sucks.
Rose sucks.
But in episodes like this, I like Rose.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, sometimes Rose steps up and saves the day, and it's a little bit unrealistic. Like the first episode, Rose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, okay, really?
Yeah.
When she's, you know, doing all her stuff.
But
was that a Billy Piper song? I don't know.
I'm yeah, kinda, that's how they all go.
Doctor.
Anyway,
I liked
Rose in this episode, yeah. And I especially liked her little coverall outfit with the T-shirt.
No, she looks
so cute
when she was naked.
Yeah, she was adorable.
It looks stupid. It looked like something I would have worn in like fourth grade.
Kind of. It was, yeah.
She's young. She's a teenager. It looked cool.
No, there just gets to this certain point, the certain age that you don't wear the
didn't,
overalls.
But it didn't look like anything you would wear in 1979 either.
No.
It
really not.
I think it would have fit more in 1970. The materials for that outfit and the design of those clothes had been around in 1979.
I'm not saying they weren't. I'm just
she would
saying
have been
it didn't look well together.
She was going to a punk concert.
Yeah, how do overalls look punk? Come on.
Yeah.
Anti-establishment.
Okay.
Stick it to the
maybe
man.
Suspenders and like a...
Yeah.
Pants with the flap that
I don't think
down.
Any
like,
of us...
You know what I'm talking about? Like the Devo
yeah.
jackets.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
I think we have to be a little bit older before we can comment on the punk scene in 1979.
By we, you mean Jenny and I, and not you, obviously.
Well, let's see. Everybody in the room that was actually alive for the entirety of 1979, raise your hand. All of 1979?
Yeah.
Alive, maybe not conscious, but
were you
yeah.
potty trained?
No.
Okay.
That you didn't ask that.
Just narrowing it down.
Anyway.
I probably wasn't even eating solid foods for most of 1979.
There you go.
We'll let you win this one, Ben, but only because of your experience with 1979.
I was already going to school in 1979 the first time. The second time I went
to... Was it punk school?
It
no.
It might have been.
Then shut up.
Punk school... So, like, Johnny Rotten was the teacher.
Yeah.
And
actually, Johnny Rotten was a classmate of mine, and we
got held back a few years.
We'd go to punk school together, and
was Joey Ramone in your class too? Did he need to go to speech therapy lessons?
Yes. He was the class clown, actually. So.
Did you try to buy collard greens for him? That joke will make sense to some of you who listen to the Mouthy broadcast a couple weeks. Plug. Plug, plug.
I'll cut this all out.
No, you won't.
Yeah,
you're
I
lazy.
Will. I am. So, you know, the doctor starts reacting to this whole wolf thing.
Yeah, and he kind of was like, oh, this is really cool. It's a werewolf. You know, he's just looking at it like it's a
yeah.
little fucking werewolf.
Well, I think
zoo.
He's figuring it out.
Yeah.
Because he knows there's no such thing as, like, werewolves.
No, but the doctor has this thing where he'll see something that's dangerous to him, but he doesn't do anything about it right away because he's just kind of
fascinated.
Oh, this is cool. It's a werewolf.
Back to his danger fetish.
And this is mm-hmm. the first episode
screaming.
Of the new series, at least, that I've seen it in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it happened much in Classic Who.
With him being fascinated by something that could kill him? He's
only...
had that for a while.
All right. Well, I mean, just look at the scene where I don't want to jump too much ahead, but
yeah.
they finally lock themselves in the room and he and Rose are like, it's a werewolf.
Yeah.
And they're jumping up and down and the, you know,
well,
and that's when Queen Victoria gets
think
really
freaked
out. Think
of Chris Eccleston though, when they were in The Unquiet Dead.
Okay. And he was interested in the zombie stuff.
They're right? walking down the street and he's bored. And then all of a sudden, the theater starts screaming and running, and he just gets this excited
yeah.
look of, ooh, let's go check it out.
Right. I forgot about that.
So, yeah, he's always... Yeah. That's where we've said in the past he has that danger fetish.
Yeah.
Danger zone.
But now the queen danger is left zone. Alone with the guard and the monk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we find out she's packing heat.
Yeah, because the monk starts to threaten her, and she's like, I'm not defenseless. I got a gun. She shoots him.
Yeah, she pops a cap in his ass.
Pops a cap in your ass, bitch.
And she doesn't even own up to it. She's like, oh.
She blames it on the guard. Because it would be unbecoming for the queen to have... Yeah, and any of the royal...
He popped a cap in somebody's ass.
Well, any of the royal guard would obviously take that heat. Mm-hmm. It's not like she's going to get in trouble.
Of course not.
You know, it's unseemly for a lady to be shooting someone.
It was a really cool looking gun, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had a little one like that when I was a kid.
She probably had it in her garter.
Yeah, along with her big ass diamond.
Yeah.
And some cobwebs.
Well, the prince has been dead for a while.
Exactly. And she's old as shit, too.
Yeah.
Longest reigning monarch of the United Kingdom. Although Queen Liz is...
She's getting up there.
Moving. She's getting close to the record.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'd like to live to see that.
That would be awesome.
Break the record. Go Liz, too.
So the wolf runs off, and the guys are shooting it, and it's just like, whatever. Whatever.
Well, they're down in the kitchen. Once, you know, Rose and her band of merry men get their guns and the women folk go hiding somewhere
in the kitchen
where they should be.
Yeah.
The werewolf is coming in and...
making sandwiches.
They make their little, you know, stand and shoot him and he runs away. And the doctor's like, okay, we should get to cover.
And of course they run up the stairs, which is like the classic horror movie thing to do.
Well, no, but before they do that, though, the guard... the groundskeeper Willie decides, oh yeah, we killed him. I'm gonna put his hide on my wall tonight.
That's right, right.
And does the stupid mistake of walking over there. He's like, oh yeah, he's dead. You know,
what
he's
was the
dead.
Line he said? Nothing on this earth could survive that.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, on this earth.
But
know.
Guess what's not from this
it's
earth?
Not from this earth.
Always the dramatic irony of Doctor Who. Nothing on this earth could do that. Exactly.
Okay. That's right. And he gets eaten.
Yep.
And the doctor runs away to help the others.
Treat.
Tells everybody else, you might want to come with me, but they stay and fight, and they're all dead.
Because they're dumb.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a wolf and kill it.
So
they, of course, like I said, they run upstairs.
Right. He gets the queen.
Mm-hmm.
And the guard is now back with us, and he's going to hold him off to give, you know, Robert the traitor and Her Majesty and the doctor and Rose a head start to get to shelter.
Yeah, and they get to the telescope room.
No, they get to the library.
Okay. I was thinking that was the telescope
room
they got into.
But they get to the library first.
Okay. And this is the room that the wolf can't get into.
He can't
get
into
the safe room.
Because apparently, and we're figuring out at the same time, because downstairs, Lady McLeish has noticed that the guards that are outside are wearing mistletoe around their necks to keep the werewolf away from them.
Wait a second.
And so they're gathering all that up and chopping it up and boiling it because she's thinking too. Meanwhile, the doctor and the company are up in the library and... Sir Robert's father had varnished the walls and infused the walls with the juice of the mistletoe.
I love that the doctor can taste it.
This is the second time he's done that. And so now I think he's building the habit of tasting things to identify their chemical makeup because he did it with the blood.
Right. And he knew it was A positive from the
taste.
Which
is pretty disgusting. So as they're in the library, they're stuck there and they figured out the mistletoe connection.
Yes.
And now the werewolf who can't get in has also figured out
he's
skylights.
Sneaky, yeah. He's going to sneak around to the roof.
Yeah.
I really liked what the doctor said, though, because they all said, I think it was Rose who said first, it's can't come through the mistletoe. It's, mistletoe hurt it. And the doctor goes, well, the monks have conditioned it to think that.
Yeah. They needed a way to control it.
Right.
So it
made me think that the monks have been doing Pavlov's dog experiments on the wolf.
Pavlov's
for the last 300 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, electrocuting it every time there's mistletoe nearby.
Well, they probably, stick mistletoe in its face and then smack it with a newspaper really hard.
So shove its nose in some poop.
Then it learns to dislike mistletoe. But Doctor finds a book, though, before they escape the library that talks about a falling star near the monastery 300 years ago. And that's when he comes up with the whole thing that, well, if it was an alien, and he names off what kind of alien it probably was, and I can't say the word, so you're just stuck with that one. Look it up for yourself on
Jagga
the TARDIS.
Fest of
no. But he said that if one cell survived, it could be regenerating and growing all this time until now it's finally able to, you know, to take a human-like form and take over the body. And that's where the whole werewolf legend has come from.
So the werewolf is like a virus.
Yes.
Or bacteria.
And so his whole plan, though, is to bite the queen and pass his essence into her.
His essence.
So.
And create the empire of blood.
The empire of the wolf.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And this is where the queen whips out the Kohinoor diamond.
Yes.
Which was this huge-ass diamond that...
the crown jewel.
Yeah. It was actually...
Quite literally.
A gift to the crown upon taking over India.
Right.
So this was like a real
yes.
diamond.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, that's
this
pretty
is a
cool.
real historic thing.
Is it true that Prince...
Albert
kept cutting it down? Is that
it
true
had
too?
Been cut a lot of times. But the curse... The real curse that they talked about was that it only affected men who wore it, but not women. And so all the men who'd ever owned it lost their throne or had other misfortunes. And so Queen Victoria was the first reigning monarch to have worn the gem.
So where did Prince Albert wear it?
On his cock?
I think so.
I don't know. It's kind of a big rock to...
I mean, that is why they call it a Prince Albert, right?
Right.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And that was a big diamond, so it probably stretched the way out.
He must have had a giant...
Member?
Yeah.
Ship?
Dong.
Yeah. I'm going to edit this whole part with
no,
the TARDIS dong. Yes, I am. So, he'd constantly been having it recut, according to the Queen. And,
well, I guess so.
I didn't think they did circumcisions back then.
But
yeah,
then
they
he put
not
the diamond
Scotland.
Back on it. He puts the diamond back on it, and it stretches out again. He oh, I need to get it recut. His skin is stretched back out again.
Oh my god, the diamond! He kept getting the diamond recut, and the doctor figures out that he was probably working with Sir Robert's father on. That telescope, and that this was somehow connected to it.
Mm-hmm.
So now the werewolf is breaking through the skylight, and they make a run for the observatory.
Yes.
And so they get up on their way to the observatory, and Sir Robert's going to try to redeem himself for being a traitor, and he's going to hold off.
When they escape, that's when the women came up and saved the day.
Yes. Rose was about to
they
get eat.
Cooked the mistletoe in the kitchen.
They
and then they
cookies.
Threw the hot mistletoe water in the werewolf's face and it retreated.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was because it was mistletoe or because it was hot-ass water.
Maybe both.
But once again, if the women had known their place and stayed in the kitchen, this could have all been resolved.
If the monks
the mistletoe
were smart, they would have... never mind.
So now they make their way to the observatory. So Robert's holding it off with the sword. That, you know, makes sense with all the swords on the wall. I always thought those were decorative, but apparently you can use real swords.
Back then...
They probably were
real swords. Mm-hmm. Now, you get a, you know, buy a decorative sword at the mall for $10 and...
Breaks
know.
The first time you use it.
From exactly. what I understand, it was kind of like a status symbol that, you know, the more weapons you have hanging around your house, this is how much I can afford, you know?
That makes sense.
Well, I did see in Sky Mall you could order a knight. Like the armor... to set up in the hallway, but I thought my little chintzy-ass bread box apartment, and then I'd have a grandfather clock and a suit of armor at the front door. That'd look awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd make people think, oh, he must have money. He just lives in the ghetto for some drunken reason.
Some drunken reason. That's all right. Like I said,
you're hiding your assets from the IRS is what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's it. And the best way to do that is with a suit of armor in the hallway.
Yeah. Shove all the money in it.
Yeah.
I would never check a suit of armor if I were raiding somebody's apartment in the ghetto.
All right.
I would just take the armor and try to put it on. I'd be like, this is awesome.
I'd hide in the armor.
Yeah.
And then when people came over to the house,
you just go,
I'd randomly move and scare them.
Zoinks!
But then in my neighborhood, I'd probably get shot.
And probably.
Her Majesty would whip out her little snub-nosed 38. And
I thought she was going to whip out her Prince Albert.
No. So they get up to the telescope room, and the doctor has to focus the telescope on the moon. Because yes. He's figured out this is some kind of, you know, use the energy from the moon as a weapon.
Now, we kind of skipped over something real quick. Robert was out there in the hall fighting off the werewolf.
Yes.
Because he's trying to redeem himself. Because
he's dumb, and you never bring a sword to a wolf fight.
Another zinger from Dennis.
Yes. Dennis fed us some lines before the show.
You should have just taken credit for it.
I was trying to, but I told him to whisper them to me, not let her hear them.
I'm too honest. Sorry. Yeah.
So, but he's trying to redeem himself from being called a traitor.
Right.
And he feels guilty that he's a traitor, but
yes.
I don't really feel that harsh on him.
Just because they had his wife hostage.
Right,
they're going
right.
to kill his wife if he spills the beans.
Because at the beginning, he really didn't want to give up the house and, you know, turn
right.
over the queen.
I think he did everything. He tried to do everything to deter
right.
her from staying
yeah.
there.
He even tried to give them clues about something weird going on.
But you still put the queen's life in jeopardy.
Right. And
this is Victorian England. These people are so uptight about shit.
I just felt bad for him because he's not really a traitor.
That's, well, if it gave you the minutes you needed to hold off the werewolf, let
yeah.
him feel like a traitor. He feels like he redeemed himself and now he can be honorable in his wife's eyes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he went out like a hero.
Yes.
Which is good. He died with honor.
Yes. He found a place in Stovacor.
Yes. So
the doctor and Rose are doing the hand crank on the telescope to get it positioned correctly.
There.
Well, no, they haven't. They got the diamond in their pocket still.
Okay,
because when Queen Vic is sitting standing there in front of the door, the werewolf bursts in the door, is going to have Queen Sandwich, and the moonlight starts going through the telescope or the device that looks like a telescope.
Mm-hmm.
It charges up all the prisms, and the beam starts shooting out of the bottom of it. The doctor throws the Kohinoor into the path of the beam.
Mm-hmm.
And it zaps out a ray and blasts the werewolf.
Yeah.
And so now he's...
Because it's a laser.
It's like a laser. And it's burning off the alien.
Yeah. And I thought it was funny. Rose was like, but he's a wolf. He needs moonlight to be a wolf. Well, you're made of water and you can still drown.
Yeah. That was a nice little connection. So it will drown him in moonlight. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's an alien werewolf. It has to be taken out.
That's my ringtone.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me.
Funny you'd forget that on this day of all days with the episode that
we had. I know.
So it kills the alien, more or less. I mean, it weakens him, and the boy that was inside the werewolf is basically telling him, yeah, finish this.
Yeah, let me go, let me
die. Free me! Let me die.
So they turn it up to 11.
And kill him.
Yeah. Poor guy.
And, So he's dead, and the doctor was walking past, and the queen's kind of holding her wrist. It's like, did you get bit?
No, it's only a flesh wound.
Just, it's only a flesh wound.
It's a splinter from the door.
It's just a scratch.
Let me look. No.
I see, this is the part where people who listen to Taurus versus Zombies would know, shoot the queen.
Yeah.
Because she's going to turn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they don't.
The doctor should have stepped up.
Yeah. Because, yeah, but she's lying. She doesn't.
And once again, they get out of there, and he's like, who cares if there's a werewolf in the monarchy?
Well, no, he said, you know, if a single cell lived, it would take at least 100 years. But before they do that, they get knighted.
Right, they get knighted, and
the queen
she's not
wants
amused.
She wants to thank them, though, for saving her, so she knights the doctor, Sir Doctor of TARDIS. And makes Rose a dame.
Dame of the
Rose
Powell
of the Powell Estate. Yeah.
Dame of the Ghetto.
No, Dame of the Projects.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. And then she's not amused. And so she kicks him out of the country. You're now banished from the United Kingdom for all time.
Yeah, I thought Rose was
leave
Rose
my
was
world.
Like, this is great. She finally said it. I win. Yeah, but get the fuck out of my country.
Yeah. Leave my world.
Wouldn't it be funny if, like, as soon as Rose was born, they were like, you need to get out. This is Rose.
Yeah, we have a court order.
Like, we have a debt. Like, it came.
This has been passed down from the crown for a century that if anyone's named Rose Tyler, they have to leave the country.
It's like Western Union showed up.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
a telegram. From
Queen Victoria in 1879.
Thank you.
Out. What?
Get out, Rose. We don't like you.
GTFO.
So now they have to leave. And as they're walking back to the TARDIS, well, they catch a ride on a wagon, but they're walking back to the TARDIS and talking about it. And they figured out that, wow, the monarchy may be werewolves.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if she did get just one cell from the werewolf in her, it would take about 100 years to reincorporate.
And it should be starting to come up.
Talk
early
about the
21st
hemophilia.
Century.
Yeah, because she had hemophilia, and apparently it was not in the family before that, so yeah. Where the hell did it
come
from?
Genetic. And if her father didn't have it and her mother didn't have it, then how did she have it? Well, maybe her father wasn't her father. I had a cousin with that one.
Mm.
Wait, if your dad's blood type is this and your mom's blood type is this, how can your blood type be this?
The only thing that didn't make sense about that was that it would have meant that her hemophilia didn't show up until she was 80.
Well, she wasn't 80 here.
How old is she?
She's in her 60s here. Maybe 70s. She was doing a lot of running to be 80.
That's very true.
I mean, I've seen some spry old
anyway,
ladies.
You are born with hemophilia. It doesn't show up in your 60s.
That's
right.
True.
Unless you get bit by a space werewolf.
Space werewolf.
And it's not like they would have known when she was a...
The family is very secretive.
That's true.
They're not putting their business all out there.
And at that time, you know, they still saw things as a weakness.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't have known that.
With a quickness.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So they leave, and you think it's the end of the episode, but it's not. Because now we're back at the house. And the Queen and Lady MacLeish are talking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously you'll never speak of these events again publicly.
Never speak of this again.
Or you'll get banished off the planet, too.
And
you
then
don't have a TARDIS.
Sets up the Torchwood Institute.
Yep. She,
to keep an eye out
there
for
should
the
be some kind of institute set up to protect us from the Doctor and other phenomena.
Phenomena.
Alien. Was she alien threats?
Alien threats.
Yeah.
And so the Torchwood Institute is founded.
And the rest is history.
Well, it will be at the end of the season when Torchwood starts.
Yes.
So
and even then, the history is never exactly clear.
Yeah.
No.
I like the
episode. Not so much.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
I like the episode.
I love the episode.
It's one of my favorite, definitely one of my favorite second season episodes.
Yes. I like it, but for some reason, I don't seem to like the spooky episodes of Doctor Who, like with the like where there's vampire type creatures or werewolf type creatures. They're usually pretty low on my list of.
Well, see, I watched
episodes.
It Halloween week, and you know, dark and spooky, and so it's the perfect mood.
Yeah,
which is why I kind of like how they're doing the new series that they're splitting it up over the fall. Because it gets dark earlier, and so when you need a spooky episode to be at night.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then if I had seen Blink at night, which I did, and then I slept with the lights on the rest of the night because it scared the crap out of me. So this episode didn't scare me like that, but it had a Halloween vibe to it, and it was spooky scary. So I definitely liked it.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, I like most Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
Like, almost every single Doctor Who episode I've seen, I really like.
Mm-hmm.
There are some that I just like less than others.
Yeah.
And the ones...
You're not
like
saying it's a
this,
bad episode.
Right.
You're saying, out of all the good stuff, this one's not as good.
Which is why it makes it hard for me to rate an episode, like, as good or bad.
Well, we don't rate on this show. We
no,
just...
but if you're asking me, like, do I like
overall
it, do I
opinion.
Not like it?
Yeah, just overall.
I don't like it as much as the other ones.
Okay. That's fine. That's valid.
I just don't like saying, like, I didn't really like this one, because
I
like
you're
all
wrong,
of them.
But that's fine. That
you're
right.
You are not as much of a fan of the supernatural as yes. opposed to just alien episodes.
Yes, that makes
you
sense.
You want more sci-fi than fantasy.
Yes. Right.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's a valid point.
And it's not even necessarily the fantasy. It's the ones that are supposed to be like, oh, this is a werewolf, but it's an alien werewolf.
Well, yeah.
Or this is a vampire, but it's an alien vampire.
Well, we got to explain everything with science in Doctor Who. It's a science fiction show. It's not... This
I
isn't
know.
Fringe. This isn't.
I know,
this isn't.
But I'm just
What's the show?
Supernatural.
Supernatural. Yeah, you don't have the Winchester brothers showing up to help the doctor.
I wish the Winchester brothers would show up and.
Well, what? Just the one, the cute one would be okay.
Which one is that? Have you seen the show?
Yeah.
Both hot.
There's the dorky one with the long hair, and then the cute one with the short hair.
They're both hot.
And then he could like hook up with Jack, and they could go on adventures in the TARDIS together. And when I mean adventures, I mean, you know.
So anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
Good episode.
Yeah, this was good. I enjoyed the episode.
And I would like to thank our friend Daryl Lewis for making
Why would you like to thank
fantastic theme song.
The one that we hear every week on the show?
Yes.
When I bothered to put up a show?
Yeah, when you bothered to put up a show.
Okay.
Thanks for mentioning that.
Yeah.
Slacker.
That's right. It's all on me.
And you can find Daryl at flyingmonkeymotogear.com. He's also on Facebook. If you like his page on Facebook, you get a discount on cool t-shirts and stuff.
That's awesome.
And he's posting all kinds of cool blogs.
And he was also on an episode a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Where we got to thank him
if
in
you
person
ever got around
again.
To posting that one.
No. It was a month or two late. But
anyway.
If you do bother to keep up with the show, even with my tardiness in posting,
tardiness.
You can, TARDISness, you can check
it's
us out
relative.
At playingdoctorpodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on Facebook /playingdoctor.
We're on Twitter at playingdoctors. With
yes. S.
We're on Google Plus at gplus.to/playingdoctor.
Which is awesome. And we're on the iTunes. And if you find us on iTunes and listen to us on iTunes, be a mensch and rate us on iTunes or leave a review because that helps boost us up on the page so other people will
yes.
hear our awesome
and
show.
And if you don't have iTunes, you can subscribe on RSS. And we're now on Stitcher Radio.
Yay!
So
Stitcher's awesome!
Yay!
And if you want to leave a comment about our show or, you know, say your anything.
Or give your feedback on one of the episodes yeah. that we've talked about. So that wraps it up.
The yeah, TARDIS is almost here. I am on Twitter at @RealityAmok.
And I'm on Twitter at @Jenny_Z.
And our good friend Lady Fox, you are?
At The Lady Fox.
Thank you for joining us once again.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
And we almost forgot to thank you for being here. And now the TARDIS is here, so we have to leave. Bye.